I'm Anu Shinai, and today I'm joined by Blur's Alex James to talk about Britpop's Classico coming to Dreamland Margate on the 24th of July.
I have to say that, you know, when it comes down to a person with a career, you've got lots of them, from your cheese farm to Blur to Britpop Classico. I mean, how do you introduce yourself?
Hello, how are you? Someone did say to me a while ago, it's kind of weird that you're a musician and you make cheese. And I've started making wine now as well. And I'm a festival host. But actually, monks make music. You know, they sing in the morning and they make cheese and they make wine. And actually, all festivals were originally religious festivals. So maybe I'm just some kind of latter-day monk. I don't know. I just got this terrible habit of turning my hobbies into jobs, I think. You know, I've always liked music, I've always liked cheese, I've always liked a few drinks, I've always liked to party. So now I seem to be a party hosting, booze and cheese making musician, you know.
Well, that's another interview. I had no idea it had gone over into the wine area.
Well, you know, British English winemaking particularly is having a moment right now. It's incredible. Like since the 90s, really, English wine's gone from naught to light speed. We're now producing some of the, literally an English sparkling wine was voted the best in the world this year. First time that's ever happened. You know, it was unthinkable when I was a kid. But, you know, Britain spent a generation recovering from running out of food in the Second World War. But actually, British eating and drinking habits did shape the eating and drinking habits of the entire globe. And we were, you know, back in the 90s, we were doing all right for music as well.
It all goes hand in hand, you know, wine, cheese, the music.
Yeah.
And speaking about the music, you as a bassist, you know, the big guitar riffs, you know, the memorable vocals, you must have heard all the instruments differently than the crowd. How does that come through to you when you're on stage? Do you hear the music differently than you feel that everyone else does?
People often ask, you know, what does it feel like standing on a stage, Glastonbury or Wembley or whatever? What does that feel like? And, you know, when you're in the car with your mates or with your family, and like Uptown Funk comes on or something, and you're all singing it, it just feels like that. It's really no different at all. It's that same feeling of kind of ecstasy. You know, I think, you know, you can, and I tell my kids, you know, you just, music's just a great thing to have in your life, whether it's your job or you're not, but whether it's your job or it's not. But I think you do get this huge feeling of satisfaction from making music or even just singing in the shower. You know, it's just a nice thing to have in your life, right?
Well, speaking of music, it seems like you actually walked into another genre. Would you say so? Or are you just, is it just the times changing with the orchestra?
Well, do you know, I was speaking to some, I was at South by Southwest in London last week, and I met someone of like a huge management company. I won't say whose management company, but she was saying she hasn't managed to break any new artists for 4 years. I think it's really hard to break a new band now. There's just not as many new acts coming through, but there's a huge appetite for live music in the UK. There's 1,000 festivals up and down the UK every summertime. Yeah, they've all got something to offer. Of the five best-selling concert venues in the world, four of them are in Britain. Only Madison Square Garden, which is in New York, that's the only one that's not in Britain. Like, there's a huge, huge appetite for live music, I think, in the UK. But it's really hard to kind of find bands that can rock a big crowd. I mean, I have this problem every year at Feastival, my festival, that, you know, ask anyone who organizes a festival what the biggest challenge about doing that is, they'll tell you without hesitation, like booking a headline band, because there's just not enough to go around. So Feastival, I kind of had to invent a band basically to headline Feastival. We'd had Ministry of Sound Classical headline Feastival in 2024. Have you ever seen that show?
Yes, I have actually.
Mom, it's the best headliner we've ever had. I watched it. I couldn't believe how brilliant it was. It was just everything about it, the repertoire, the musicianship, the way it was staged, performed. It was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. It was so good. I went running back. I kind of had an epiphany on the spot. I went running backstage directly afterwards going, we have to do a Britpop version of this. I think it would work really well for festivals. So the idea is it's a rock band with me on bass on the stage, with a symphony orchestra and a kind of whole chorus of session singers, and then a handful of special guests, like a little bit of star power, belting out 90 minutes of Britpop bangers from, you know, golden age in British music back in the 90s, you know, because there's not as many new bands coming through. I think a whole new generation has discovered that those songs that, you know, mean more to more people now than they did when they were written, all those Pulp, Oasis, Blur, Supergrass, Radiohead songs. So I persuaded Feastival's backers to book it for Feastival last summer to bring the whole thing to a close. And it was slightly terrifying because you never really know if something's going to work until you actually try it. You get like one rehearsal we had to see if it worked. And it's two completely different schools. Classical musicians, absolutely everything's written down or it's chaos. Pop music, nothing ever gets written down. It's all just done by ear. So you're bringing two completely different schools together, and you know you don't know if it's going to work until you try it. So I was absolutely bricking it going into the rehearsal. But I went to open this door into this huge kind of production facility in West London and tripped over a harp and fell into some Tubular Bells. Like, there's a whole orchestra there. It's like, well, you know, it's quite daunting. But we started playing Creep by Radiohead, and about halfway through I noticed I was crying. It was just all that dynamic, and it was just so emotive, like all the dynamic and nuance that you get from that, from the orchestration. Yeah, so we did it at Feastival last summer, and it just completely brought the house down. So can't wait to bring it to Margate. It's just a really great, giving people what they want, feel-good show. It's like banger, 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 banger. Starts at 100 miles an hour, gets to light speed by about halfway through. So by the time we get to sort of the sing-along, big sing-along ones at the end, the whole, this like 65% audience, 35% band, you know? It's a great show, trust me.
Pure creativity, pure fun.
And then everyone goes into the riff from Riverboat Song, Ocean Colour Scene, you know, down, out, you know, now, and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. And then Simon from Ocean Colour Scene comes on, sings it. Everyone goes, wow. He goes off. Saffron from Republica comes on, smashes out, ready to go. Yeah, I'm absolutely loving doing it. It's great. It's great fun. Just pure joy.
Phil Daniels is going to be joining you. How does that feel?
It's great. You know, I've known him for a very long time. He gets a massive cheer when he bounces out. They've grown and grown. You know, they haven't been forgotten. The opposite's happened. They seem to mean more to more people now than they did when they written. And it's true of every song in the set. You know, I think that's part of what made me think it might work is when Blur got back together in 2023. How many of my kids' mates bought tickets to come and sit? And, you know, and that, how many kids they were in the audience. And it's the same with the Oasis shows, right? But it was like parents and kids coming together, because they're the you know, the people who grew up with it, the music that you love when you're young, it never leaves you. There's a kind of nostalgia element to it, but for all the people who had it the first time round, but there's this whole new audience as well. So, you know, happy days. We don't need to invent a new band, we can just use the old ones, you know.
Well, you know what, what's so magical about what you're doing now is that it still seems relevant, and it seems like you never went away.
When a song does get embedded in the national consciousness, it just sort of they take on a life of their own. I mean, those Blur songs, they'll outlive me. It's crazy.
You've played at different venues. You've played at the Royal Robert Hall, and you're playing now at Margate, you know, coming up. Are you giving a different experience to the audience?
The Albert Hall was great. You know, it's a packed night. It's an emblematic venue. It was a great place to kick off the tour. But I mean, sold out. Tour of symphony halls and concert halls in the spring, but I always sort of saw this as a kind of as a great sort of festival. It's a party band, basically. You know, if you've got a big group of people outside, you know, give them a few beers, a few hits, and some sunshine, you know, happy days. But I think we've got this need, you know, I think people have sort of have this need to come together in summertime and bond. If you can just deliver a bunch of music that people are familiar with, it's magical.
On that note, in 30 years from now, which one song that you want everyone to just know all the words to? Because I have to say that all the songs you've done, everything that you've done, I know the words to. So I don't know exactly how that's going to change, but coming from you, which song would that be?
Oh, God, I don't know. It's not just Blur. It just surprises me. The Lars, brilliant. Charlatan, Stone Roses. I've learned is you don't get to decide what people remember. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of, and long may it continue.
Excellent. Alex, thank you so much for joining us, and I cannot wait. Well, I cannot wait to see you on stage, and you are one busy person.
I'm really looking forward to coming to Margate. See you down the front. Honestly, trust me, it's a great show. You're going to love it.
Thank you very much.
Blur bassist Alex James brings his Britpop classico Dreamland Margate on the 24th of July. The live show brings the 90s anthems, a full symphony orchestra, live band, and special guest singers like the Republika Saffron, Reef's Gary Stringer, and Phil Daniels. Don't miss it.